Hi, welcome to Together Equal Diversity Made Simple, hosted by me, Sarah Erdmash.
And myself, Andrew Milne.
We'll be talking to guests about their diversity journey and asking them to share their one simple tip towards making the workplace more diverse, equal and inclusive. Thank you for tuning in. I'm excited today to introduce our guest, Alicia Richardson, co-founder at Black Create Connect, the hub which connects Black professionals to career opportunities. Alicia, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Andrew, bringing you good vibes, good energy. But hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. So, Alicia, before we really dig in, could you tell us a bit more about yourself and Black Create Connect?
Sure. So I am Alicia, founder of Black Create Connect. So in regards to myself, I have a background in recruitment and managing hiring processes. And I was always the go-to person when it came to, diverse hiring. I was always the go-to person in organisations and for clients because of my diverse hiring methods. So I have a background in recruitment. And over time, what I did notice is that a lot of individuals that are hired from diverse backgrounds, they weren't always staying in organisations for a long time. So I then started to focus on training, you know, on allyship, on how to retain diverse talent with organisations. So I've now progressed on to be a lead diversity, equity and inclusion consultant full time. And in regards to Black Create Connect, we started initially as a WhatsApp community just to share job opportunities and also share tips and advice on how to navigate in the space as a Black young professional. And today that's progressed onto a community that now partners with organisations to help organisations connect authentically with our community. So we do that through events, through our WhatsApp group, our newsletter, through content creators and more. So that's a bit about me and my background and a little bit about Black Create Connect as well.
Great. And so, you know, using your experience in recruitment and also these events, what would you say is the disconnect between employers and Black talent or any barriers that you're finding?
So many things. So first of all, one of the things that employers did when I worked in client side was that they just said, oh, we need to hire Black talent. Let's put this job up on this diverse job board, or let's sponsor this Black event, or let's do this. It was random things that actually didn't link to a wider strategy. And that is problematic because we see through it, the Black community, they see through it. They want you to show and demonstrate your genuine commitment. So when we're having those events, who's coming to those events? Are people of influence actually there interacting and building relationships? Or have you sent junior people to just go and represent the company? That's one of the things. When you're advertising a job, think about the method you're advertising it through. So one of the reasons why I advertise through content creators is because they have trusted audiences. So one of the key things that companies need to do is think, how can I get my employer branding through a trusted voice, right? So that's one of the biggest mistakes that companies do. There's so many, but that's one of the gaps that I see, just not being authentic and consistent in an approach.
I mean, you've literally just said exactly what I find in my experience as well. We need to have this type of person in the company. How do you do that? Well, just go to our diverse job board, and then that
exactly
sponsors one or two events. But there's no sort of like, there's no sort of foresight against, as you said, the bigger picture. And then also the question I'm now asking myself is, well, if we do have the talent within the company, how far in the company are they actually going? Are they just sitting in a seat there for 2 years with no prospects of advancement? And then you're like, oh, I can't believe they're leaving. We need to get more in. And it just starts that vicious cycle again. Like, is there a clear path for progression? Is that path known and is available to everyone in, you know, an equal manner? Or, you know, is there any way that it is accessible to people too? So yeah, rung so true in what you just said.
No, exactly. And I agree with you as well. You saying that talent in regards to them progressing in the business, some of the gaps are there's no one sponsoring them. There's no one actively opening doors for a particular talent. There's no one actually actively sharing tips and advice on how they can progress in their careers. Because there's let's be honest, there's actually tricks or there's tips that you need to know about to really progress in organizations, whether it's how you network, whether it's how you manage up, whether it's how you gain visibility. These things are not commonly spoken about to all underrepresented groups. So that's something that companies need to think about, who's passing that knowledge over and who's helping them to kind of climb up the ladder.
Yeah, and you know, moving on to like helping each other, what would you say the initiatives are that you've worked on through BCC that has had the most impact?
Good question. So there's been quite a few. I'll say number one, having the WhatsApp group is like that consistent, that's where the consistency comes from, the consistent space of like love and of having impact. Because if someone is in the community, for example, and they see an opportunity shared, not only do they go on and apply for it, but then they can come back and say, has anyone been in this process for this company? Can anyone share tips? So there's that constant support within the network. And then if they are promoted or if they do get that job, they then have the community to praise them and to, you know, to say, well done for getting this achievement. And whilst they're in the role, yesterday, someone messaged in the group saying, I had someone refer to the N-word at work, right? How do I, yeah. Someone, this happened yesterday, I have it in the chat. And it was their line manager. They didn't mean it. So what I understood from the message, someone was saying, was writing a policy and saying, I'm writing in the policy, don't say the word N, the N word. But they still took offense by that, right? So these small little things, they didn't know how to deal with that because they felt really offended. And they was like, this is a bit of a, I don't know how to deal with it. However, because there was a community there, was able to share advice and say, okay, do this, follow this step, do this. It's that consistent community because it helps to build you long term. So this is having the biggest impact on people's confidence, how they navigate in their careers and how and having access to jobs. One of the key things. In regards to how companies connect with us, events. Like whenever we have an event in person, that is when people from the organization can really build that in-person relationship, right? And I don't know about you, Andrew and Sarah, but don't you feel like in person, it's just easier to build that rapport with someone versus online?
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's nice to work from home, but it's a blessing and a curse because you kind of then do miss those human interactions. And, you know, sometimes my social skills aren't what they used to be, so I do worry about myself. living alone.
exactly. But to answer your question in regards to impact, it's impactful because those relationships wouldn't have been built had that event not taken place. And actually, sometimes on paper, people don't always sell themselves the best. But when you've met someone, it opens the door a little bit wider. And they say, actually, I'm open to having a conversation with you. I'm open to, you know, interviewing you or bringing you into the organisation. So that has been the most impactful thing.
I'm really interested about what you were saying. A couple of things, actually. The first one. what you were saying just now, that example you gave about somebody writing a policy that was, they didn't handle very well. So then your network kind of rallied round. We're all about trying to make sure that there is a safe space to have these conversations. So if somebody does something that they shouldn't do, fact, how do you address that? And how would you recommend somebody that same person would do that differently next time? Not your side, the person who was writing the policy. Just so that if anyone's listening, they're kind of going, yeah. Oh my God, I don't know what to do, but what should I have done in that situation?
Yeah, really, really, really good question. So the reality is, right, when people say things that could be deemed as offensive or a microaggression and so forth, 90% of the time, it's never coming from a bad place. Most of the time, it's just coming from a place of just not thinking things through or just ignorance. So in that scenario, what we advised, so from the person that was on the receiving end, we said to them, write in the email what took place and ask them, how do you think that actually landed? Upon reflection, how do you think that made me feel, kind of putting that in place? And I think what someone can do if they might make a mistake is stop for a second and think, how did that potentially, or how could this impact the other person? What is the potential outcome of me saying this, of me doing this? Think about that, think that through. And it's okay to make the mistake, but take accountability. Like when you defend it and say, oh no, I didn't mean it. That's not the point. The point is that you've offended someone. So you take accountability, apologize and do better. Like that's, I think that's the worst thing someone can do is say, oh, I didn't mean it, so you shouldn't have taken it that way. Oh, that hurts. That's so much because it's, you're disregarding how I feel, right? So that's what I would say.
And it's also making it about you, the perpetrator. It's making it about yourself rather than the person you've offended, which is
exactly,
yeah, Yeah, I get that. And then the other thing that you were saying about people of influence attending the events and how important that is. And that's something that I've witnessed as well, because it's not just adding that gravitas. It's leading by example. So we find, so Together Equals all about creating conversations that matter. And one of my big, one of my pet hates is the fact that we are always talking to people who already care and who are already invested. How do you reach the other people who I think they care, but they people that there's that element of it doesn't matter to me, it's not relevant to me, or kind of worse, I shouldn't be part of this conversation because I don't feel like it's got anything to do with me. It's like, no, that's not right. If you've got, if there's an event happening, you should go. You should go and educate yourself, and you should go and learn. But I think that too often senior management overlook that and don't turn up. And then to the next level, it's more than showing up, as well as showing up to an event. It's about showing up for the people that in your team, because they might not be the role models and mentoring needed. So do it. Just do it for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, before I answer that question, I want to flip it back on you both, right? How did you get to the point of caring? Have you always cared in the workplace, or was there like a turning point for you? That's a question that I have first and foremost, because I think sometimes each person has to go on their own journey of experiencing something or seeing something and realizing the impact before actually caring. So what have you seen?
I mean, if I answer that from myself, you know, I've done quite a bit of reflection thinking, why am I doing, you know, inclusion and diversity work? Like, what's led me to this point? And I think, you know, from a selfish point of view, I've always been a people pleaser. And I've always wanted to, I don't want to say make people like me. We're going quite psychologically deep here. But, you know, this leads on to the fact that I then saw that I wanted to want people to, you know, want to please people. I then wanted to be able to uplift them and support them, because I find that a lot of stuff that I do is based around the needs of other people. So, for example, my career, I started off working in the gym, and, you know, that is to help people on their fitness journey, and, you know, to achieve their goals. And I went on to reception, where I'm trying to service people and help them get, you know, it's pretty basic, but, you know, get them what they're wanting. And then, you know, through HR, I realized that, you know, this whole range of communities who don't have these opportunities, and they aren't afforded the same privileges that I perhaps could have been, or the perhaps privileges that I was. And then also, when I look at my career past as well, like, I've obviously had homophobia be pointed at me in my career path. You can't do that because you're too effeminate, or, you know, you're not the right fit for this job because you're gay. And it's just made me realize that I'm at a point in my career where I can have a voice, and I can develop myself, and I can elevate people around me. I'm happy to be party to other people's communities, conversations, and help them advance their own agenda. Obviously, that sounds a bit bit contrived, but learning about the communities, helping them to afford opportunities themselves and invest in their future, as well as the future of others, is kind of like what drives me wanting to support and grow other people. You know, as I hit 40, I'm realizing, you know, I haven't had my chance. I'm not about to say I'm going to cark it within the next couple of years. But again, I'm at a privileged position where I can, you know, give back in a way. And I'm definitely wanting to help support other communities as best I can. And it's, you know, all smaller steps that lead to the bigger picture. So that's pretty much my driver.
I love that. Thank you, Andrew. I know I'm not the one interviewing here, but I'll just but I just thought to ask the question out of curiosity. It's quite sad, because what I do find, like when I was in Cannes a couple of weeks ago, and I was in the Equality Lounge and the DEI talks, it was predominantly people from underrepresented groups in those spaces, which I found actually quite sad, because I thought, we care because we have lived experiences, but you're right, what about those that don't? Why should they care? How do we get them to actually turn around and show up and care? So apart from the fact that they need to have their own lived experience, I think from a business perspective or from a commercial perspective, they need to understand the importance of showing up for people from underrepresented groups. So what that might mean is having a conversation and saying to them, what is your vision? Where are you trying to go with the business and what you're trying to do? fantastic. So you want to be more innovative, you want to expand, you want to reach more audiences. So for you to effectively do that, you need to have a genuine understanding on different stories, different lived experiences, and how to connect with different people. Because if you don't, you're not going to effectively hire and retain the right people that's going to help to grow your business. That's from a commercial perspective. If you don't, you're not going to be sustainable. Gen Z are so diverse in so many aspects, and they care about that. So you're not going to be sustainable if you don't. So it's their loss, actually. That's the first thing. Second thing, the human side to it, is that we're all human beings. So actually, why would you not show up for people, for human beings, and help them, support them? And if you ask that question to a senior and say to them, why won't you put time aside to actually educate or show your support to these groups? Ask them that question outright, and they won't have an answer that can, you know, that can suffice. So I think it's about also people asking them the question, challenging more, and making them think about why they're not in those spaces. And I would question, if they say, oh no, I don't want to be there, that's a completely different conversation that needs to happen. But I think we need to have more conversations, ask more questions, and also link it back to their vision, whatever it is that they are interested in. There's always going to be a wider vision that we can link it to. Does that make sense? And does that answer your question?
Absolutely. And it also plays into my latest way, well, not my latest, but one of my new ways of thinking, is that you can't create inclusion through exclusion. So if you have an event that's, for example, is a women in tech event, you can't say, well, actually, we don't want any men there. The way I look at it is that if a man wants to go there, he's more than welcome to attend. The stuff that he hears may not be relevant to him. He may not have opinion on it. But as long as he's there to listen to the experience of other people, he can then form his own opinion and then think, you know, what can I do differently to create a more inclusive environment? Like, exactly. You don't have to go there to solve everyone's problems. It's, you know, it's a conversation event, and it's going to be awkward. It's going to be difficult. I mean, for example, like last year, we covered about, you know, female reproductive issues, about menopause and polycystic ovaries. And I was like, well, personally, I'm never going to have that problem myself. However, I'm going to be interacting with women who may be perimenopausal, menopausal, and so on. Like, for myself, it means nothing. But show up to the event, learn what you can, share your experience, and don't be afraid to feel challenged or uncomfortable in the environment. Just don't go in there thinking that you're an expert on it all and have an opinion if you're not quite at that point.
Exactly. And the thing is, to your point as well, like, that's such a good point, not going through something but understanding it. That's how you connect with people, and in general you get more done with more people on your side in general. Like, it's just a reality of life, right? And if you understand more people, you'll get more done. You can all work together, you can all work more collaboratively together. It improves productivity, it improves so much, you know, in general. And from, like, my personal perspective, I really want to go through life understanding as much as I can about human beings, because I think you respond to situations completely different when you have an understanding, if that makes sense. So even understanding neurodiversity and for example, ADHD and ODD and how they might respond in situations, if you don't understand why they respond in a certain way, you're going to be defensive and be like, why are you being cold, or why are you being dismissive, or why are you not understanding this information? If you understand it, then your approach is completely different and it improves how you work with them.
It's good. The only problem is marketing. It's always women and allies in tech and so on. So you can't do a fuzzy tagline.
But the thing is as well, even with allies, like, there's some people that genuinely may not feel like they're an ally because they may not feel like they're doing anything. They might mentally and emotionally feel like, yeah, of course I support women, but because they haven't been doing anything or gone on to any marches or done anything physically, they may not feel like they can call themselves an ally. So I think with those type of events, just say all is welcome, but the event is called what it's called, but all is welcome. Literally, that helps.
That's what we need to
do. That even, do you know what as well? I think there's other things. As you're speaking, I'm thinking about the event next week, and I was going to post it on LinkedIn today, but I thought, do you know what? I'm going to do a video, because if I do a video and I say this event is open to you all, this is what we're going to be covering, I feel like people will then say, Oh, actually, she said that we're all welcome. She hasn't just written it down. She's taking time out to record, put makeup on her face and everything. So it actually, she actually means what she's saying, and people can kind of read that. So again, communicate. Like, the internet is so big and there's so many different things we can do now. Be as open as you can with how you communicate with people. Get voices, get other people to speak for you. So maybe get a white straight male to say, I'm going to this event. And it's a woman in tech event. So that is saying, that's communicating to other people, I can come too, you know? So that helps.
And finally, Alicia, so much stuff that you've achieved is all amazing. What are you most proud of achieving to date?
Ooh, I like that question. There's so many. Okay, so I'll talk about a recent scenario. About 2 months ago or so, I did an event with in collaboration with Word on the Curb, another kind of community platform at Immediate Media, and that event was like about 300-400 individuals that kind of came, and it was really well put together. We had people in the industry, like in the music and entertainment industry, that came and supported what we were doing. We had company sponsor, we had a whole team of volunteers for the event. And I remember this time last year, my first event was probably like 60 people on a rooftop terrace. So to scale that big, and then afterwards have people, because we had workshops as well, people came up to me at the event. I was like, people were lining up to talk to me saying, this has been so impactful. This has been one of the best networking events. I've managed to get some really good connections. I've learned so much. One after the other, after the other. I literally went home and cried because I was like, this is... No, honestly, because I was like, this is beautiful. Like, I didn't expect people to feel the impact so, you know, so immediately. So that was really, really... I was really, really proud of that, especially because there's managed Immediate Media and Universal managed to get some hires from there as well, and really good applicants. That was a massively proud moment for me. But there's been so many, but that's recent, so I can talk about that.
So it sounds like the power of people has really driven your most proudest achievement, which is brilliant.
100%. 100%.
Cool. Well, Alicia, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for your time. Like, I think this has probably been, you know, one of my top rated podcasts that we have recorded. shout out to us. And to our listeners out there, make sure you tune in to our next episode of Together Equal Diversity Made Simple.
Amazing. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for listening, everyone. Take care.